Siren Radio.
Marvellous. And just in case you're wondering, surely that can't be the very same Luke Corradine who actually came up with the magical words that were at the bottom of this particular button here. If I look for this, those are things which went...
Bonjour, je m'appelle Luke Corradine, je suis le music compositeur du le film No Panic with a Hint of Hysteria. Et vous écoutez Alex Levchuk et le Midweek Drivettes.
Brilliant. Le Midweek Drivettes. Yes. Recorded, if I recall, Luke, whilst we were actually on the South Bank in London. It's wonderful stuff there. So there we are, you see. And you got it in one take as well. Genius. It's great. We can welcome Ace Midweek Drivette and events organiser from the University of Lincoln. Heather Knox is with us. How are you, Heather?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Good to see you as ever. Last seen, of course, on the Midweek Drivette on a scooter, which, in fact, the gentleman who's sitting next to you now, Ben Lewis, was also responsible for the promotional aspect for that scooting day.
Scooter to the waterfront.
It's amazing. Anna, you've got three fabulous folk that you can speak to. Luke Corradine in Cannes, an award-winning music composer who shared a stage with Buddy Guy, performed to thousands at the Victoria and Albert in London, composed for ballet in the Bloomsbury Theatre, Nokia and Lego commercials. You can talk with Heather Knox about some of the fabulous things that are coming up in the Great Life series at the University of Lincoln. Yes, women deserve equality. Sorry, just looking ahead to all sorts of things there. And we've got, of course, Ben Lewis back from Bentley. Anna, you're currently wandering the streets of Twickenham in London. Who do you wish to go to?
Yes, I'd like to speak to the musician or the musical composer from Cannes.
Luke, you're up.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an amazing place, but what sort of atmosphere is it there for people like you in this music industry? Is it a buzz sort of place to be? Do you meet other musical composers who are equally amazing? What's the vibe like?
I'll tell you this much. It's the festivals here, which we have three around the year, the famous film festival, and then you have MIPCOM and MIPTV, which specialize in series and documentaries and things like that, are obviously incredibly buzzing and full-fledged international events. However, the area in general, it's populated by an interesting blend of... it's a whole bunch of curious cats that live here. You've got the retired entertainment figures from all around the world. You've got the aspiring artists. You have a lot of painters. You have a lot of sculptors, and it's a very interesting blend. It's a very interesting mix, and it's easy to bump into hectic types, and I would say sort of almost bohemian types in the true sense of the word. So I like it very much, actually.
Yeah. When you actually watch a movie, I mean, I've been watching Trust, the one that was based in 10 parts, about the Getty family. And the role of music in that epic production is very, very moving.
Yes.
But some people take it for granted that a lot of work goes into this, to choose the right music, or to get the right composer, to commission the right musicians to play the role. I just wonder how it all fits together at the end of the day when a film or a documentary gets put together. It must be quite a challenge.
I think the hard work, it actually occurs before we are even signed, or before we even take part of the whole process. I think the hardest bit is to write the material, to finance it, and to get it shot properly. And kudos to the people that are part of the early stages, as it were. When we actually come on board, things are towards the end of normally quite close to release, and there's a lot of pressure. There's hardly any time left, so you normally tend to work with your instinct, and my focus, as it's pretty much that of most seasoned composers, I would say, is to find something that musically speaking, find a theme or a melody or a sound that you feel that represents the core of the story, whatever that may be, whether it's a character, a scene, a vibe, whatever. And once you've got that, that's the hardest thing. Once you've got that, that's like key that opens all doors, and then it's sort of relatively easy to
show. You're right. There's a film, it's called Savior, and it's spelled the American way, S-A-V-I-O-R, and it's based on the terrible war in Yugoslavia, and they use lullabies as a kind of recurring theme, because there's a child in it. And it's subtle, and it's only really when you get to the end of it you understand how important something that a lullaby, which is sung by one of the characters in there, to hush the baby, it's recurring, and it almost has different levels. It's creepy. It's creepy, but in a very productive and positive way. It sounds weird to say it.
Sounds as though we're promoting the séance, which is taking place as part of the pop-up theatre in a few weeks' time, but still, that's another. Heather Knox, somebody wished to do the autobiography of Heather Knox, and I know that the various sort of contracts are out there in the wind, etc. Would you view music as being an important part of the whole thing? Would you consider signing up Luke as a composer for the Heather Knox life story?
Absolutely. What an honour it would be to have something composed in honour of your life. Not entirely sure what I would go for, but what would you say if you were going to be looking to do some musical autobiographies? What would be your kind of like key things that you'd look at, Luke?
So give me three highlights, as it were, of your life or Heather Knox's life, and I'll tell you what I would go for. Just give me three, four highlights.
You don't have to mention being on this show, by the way. No, that's okay.
let's take that one. Let's take my radio career that is in its infancy, very much family orientated, and then life in Lincoln. Let's go for those ones.
Family, radio, life in Lincoln.
I would go for something modern. I would go for something band orientated. I would try to write some tracks, even vocal tracks, band tracks that are close to your environment, your childhood, or something that you've listened to, and try to recreate a sound that represents your upbringing. I would go for that. I wouldn't go for strings. I wouldn't go for nothing like anything sort of classical or in that sense.
Bearing that in mind, Luke, let's give an opportunity here to listen to one of three Luke Corradine compositions, which is going to just give an initial line from a movie which, again, vastly underrated, but it's well worth accessing. We can have The Road to St. Pancras, Gangsters Meet, or A Present for Dimitri. So which one of those would you actually say we have as the launch number in this particular area? The Road to St. Pancras, very apt, of course, for Anna, currently in Twickenham, long way away from St. Pancras, but closer than either Cannes nor indeed Lincoln. Gangsters Meet or A Present for Dimitri? Luke, which one would you like us to go for?
I would go for Gangsters Meet.
Bearing in mind, that's often been the subtext. I mean, Ellie Sample's on the show tomorrow morning, and she's often saying, Julie and Heather, it's their theme in many ways. Luke Corradine, 72 seconds, Gangsters Meet. Rhythmical, anthemic, emotional, atmospheric. What did you make of that as it was pumped through the telephone line to you on your mobile phone set somewhere in Twickenham, Anna Lewis?
Yeah, very atmospheric. you can hear the build-up of tension. Mm. It's very compelling, and it, I think it was. Yeah, it would be nice to see it in context, but yeah, it's very powerful stuff.
Well, there you are, Heather.
Absolutely compelling. Really wanted to hear a little bit more of it, actually.
Well, you know, we'll have a little bit more later on, obviously, in different areas from that point of view. And Ben, somebody, because actually before your Bentley year out placement, you worked with them the wonderful world of Sony, promoting such epics as Angry Birds and The Sausage Party, if I recall.
Yeah, very different to this type of music, I think. But no, I think this kind of music is really quite interesting, because it makes you kind of almost paint your own picture in your head of what scene it would be in. I think that's probably what makes it quite a good piece.
And that's without seeing the movie, of course, Luke, so we'll work our way through that whole process. Be inspired! Lecture : philosophy professor Jenny Saul on being a woman in a male-dominated field. Heather, I believe this is part of your department. It's not your department. Oh, no, he was a philosophy professor at the University of Lincoln Events Department, who was actually talking about the Be Inspired lecture. I've obviously been mistaken about that, but it's still a great lecture. Anyway.
Absolutely. The Be Inspired lectures are run by the Eleanor Glanville Centre, so a part of the university that's very much focused on women doing fantastic things in science, technology, engineering, and they've got a great programme of events where they're inviting our own professors and externals to come in and talk about things that are most important to them.
And open to the public?
Yes, always.
Marvellous. There we are. I just wanted to clarify that. We will be finding out about the Great Lives that will be coming up. Plus, of course, there's an open day happening a week on Saturday. Same time, Ben, as the last day of the Lincoln Book Festival.
It is indeed.
It's a fantastic scenario. Luke, stay with us, because Anna is going to be dealing with all manner of other bits and pieces. But Ben, would you like to ask Anna those last two questions? Because, I mean, I don't know what the weather's like in Twickenham. Is it blowing a gale there? Because
it's blustery.
Not nice. Well,
not good weather in Middlesex.
Have you been checking any gravestones recently, or is it a case of no? We stay outside.
Yeah, I'll save those for next time.
Nice one.
I've got a walk planned.
This is what we like to hear. You know, in fact Anna's Walks, music by Luke Carradine. Could be the absolute song. Anyway, Ben, off you go.
Anna, have you enjoyed your tenor from the Olympus today on the show?
I certainly have, thank you.
Brilliant. And will you be joining us again sometime in the near future?
I would be honoured. Thank you for asking.
No problem.
That's exactly what we'd like to hear. Coming up next, Els Bailey. Luke, stay with us. We'll be talking more about Great Lives and a whole heap of other goodies as the programme proceeds. Thank you.
but my head's still a mess. My mind is rolling like a roller coaster. I don't love you any less, but this puzzle can't be put together. Too many pieces are lost forever. All the words you say, they're sad and hollow, and you will still be gone tomorrow. 'Cause I just can't forget.
Blues singer and songstress Els Bailey there, also a friend of the programme with Time's a Healer. But is it? Luke, when last we spoke, as I say, on the South Bank, I think it was a few days before the vote was taken in 2016 to say, we are leaving the European Union. I say we, I'm sorry, not all of us voted for us. Only 52%. Anyway, what the hell? You were quite firm in your commitment saying, right, if it happens, I'm off back to France. Was that very much at the heart of moving to Cannes, or was it a case of you think, ah, you rust beef, what are we doing with you?
It's a complicated affair. I mean, it's complicated to answer that question. I think
that's exactly what Theresa May says every time anybody asks her. What the hey?
I think I was suffering from a case of, health-wise, I was suffering every winter. For me, the weather was a major component. But it is fair to say that perhaps Brexit was not the type of country or Britain or England that I wanted for my kids. But it's complicated. As I said, I sometimes feel that I perhaps overreacted. I really wish that things go back. And I mean, to me, it's the chaos is more baffling than anything else, you know, and I'd like to see England doing a lot better. I mean, at the moment, it's just heartbreaking because 3 years ago, economically, everything was booming, as you might as well remember it. I mean, it was amazing. There was a great energy in the air. And I think now it's quite the opposite. And that saddens me. That really saddens me.
I mean, it's not for me, but it's the likes of our next graduates. Ben, I don't know how you're going to cope. No, seriously, Ben, any thoughts? I mean, you've been working with Bentley, obviously, for the last year. I mean, have you people there talking about the whole thing or saying it doesn't matter as long as you're in the United Arab Emirates and you can afford a Bentley car? That's perfectly okay.
No, I think it's a discussion that's happening all over the car industry, or not just the car industry, most industry in the UK, because it's obviously a big topical issue, and I don't think there's really any kind of forecast of what's going to happen, whether it's right, whether it's the right move or the wrong move. I think it's probably a problem that, that's why the people in the power have, paid the money that they're paid and the responsibility they've got. That's for them to sort, really. But it's, at the end of the day, the decision was taken, and I think that's kind of the way it's got to go. It's just a case of, it would have helped, I suppose, if there was some sort of direction as to...
Are you suggesting we actually should have had a plan, perhaps, or some...
But I think, not just the government, I think businesses as well. I think there should be plans to adapt to situations. Like, generally, forgetting Brexit as a general concept, I think businesses in general have to adapt to different financial situations. I think that's part and parcel of it, really.
Heather, obviously, the University of Lincoln will continue to thrive and survive and do all sorts of other bits and pieces. Is this an issue that you... concerned about, or is it a case of, oh, if only Luke hadn't left for Cannes in London, he could have been one of our great live speakers?
It's something that I think pulls up some challenges, but also some great opportunities. As a university, it will mean that we will possibly recruit in different ways, but also it has impacts on the research that we do at the university as well. So I say I'm going probably into it with a little bit of hesitation. I'm very much like Ben. It would be nice to have some clearer plans and ideas of what the next kind of few months, years, however long it is going to be and how it's going to look like. But also it's a great opportunity for us as a country to really diversify and make things our own.
But what a great opportunity to write a Brexit anthem, I would have thought, Luke. There's got to be. I'm thinking.
That's where the money is, Alex. That's where the money is.
Ludwig van Beethoven's Ode to Joy, used as the European theme. Surely there's got to be a kind of similar thing with respect to Luke, which you can work through. Anyway, just a thought there. Moving on, Heather. the Great Live series. Would you like to share with Luke, our listener, and more folk exactly what's happening and why this is such an awesome series, which is very much part of the University of Lincoln's commitment to good quality, informative, educational events across the globe?
Absolutely. So Great Live started a few years ago now, and it's basically a lecture series that we run every year, and it's about inspiring people, whether young, old, whatever you fancy doing. So we've had speakers like Chris Packham regularly comes in, and he talks about bats and owls. That's his kind of showcase that we do every Halloween, that he comes in, and we have birds of prey in the auditorium, and they do flights, and we have bats available for people to view as well. But we also have people like Caroline Duffy coming in. She's the poet laureate, and she does sessions for people to come in and lectures, but she also works with local school children as part of her time on campus in this series. So we've actually got a book, a poetry book, that we're currently producing at the moment with local school children writing poems for it, and that will be launched in the autumn term, and that people can purchase, and it's a celebration of Armistice 100.
So is it sorry to interject there, is it from people from all walks of life, is it or is it a recurrent theme from the guests that you bring onto the series?
From all walks of life, from all academic areas as well. It's very much a celebration of the great things that people are doing.
Brilliant. I was part of a similar project at a TV channel in London I worked at many years ago, and they had a Black History series, and they did the same thing, obviously focused on Black people, or people of African American, Caribbean origin, and it was amazing. I mean, the moment you start looking with magnifying glasses to a lot of these people that have gone through struggle and suddenly find success, run such inspiring lives. I'm all for this. Also, I love those type of projects. Really, they're very inspiring.
That, in many ways, is the subtext for the University of Lincoln, inspiring, and Siren Radio as well, of course. Luke, I suspect you may be too young to remember the awesome polystyrene. Does that name ring a bell at all from a musical world? Real name, of course, being Marianne Joan Elliott, and a major hit being A Germ-Free Adolescence, which has been taken up by the Polyfest event that takes place between the 3rd and the 4th of November in Dublin Castle. Do you have any recollection of polystyrene whatsoever, or is it a case of...
It did made, if I'm not mistaken, the words of from a Beatles song. I can't remember which, but I do recognise the word. But
yeah, well, sort
that's
of.
As far as I go.
We're in the heart of the 70s here, so before Heather and indeed Ben even had emerged as life forms on the planet Earth. But given that we'll be speaking to Vix, formerly of Fuzzbox, full title of the band, We've Got a Fuzzbox and We're Going to Use It. I think it will just so pave the way with this, and maybe actually you could cast your composer's ear over this ode to anxiety in adolescence. It is indeed the original X-Ray Specs with polystyrene as lead vocalist with Germ-Free Adolescence.
Like it.
So, Heather, what did you make of germ-free adolescence, X-ray specs? It does tend to serve as a little bit of a meme, an earworm, really, in many ways. You probably find yourself singing Scrub Away, Scrub Away, Scrub Away, the SR way.
Well, let me just say it's better than the Baby Shark song that is absolutely everywhere at the moment.
Ben?
Yeah, it was interesting. I quite enjoyed it, so... Yeah.
Probably starring sadly no more passed away, and that's the reason we've got this Polyfest taking place. But at the end of the day, Luke Carradine, what did you make of germ-free adolescence?
I was holding similarities between Siouxsie and the Banshees and the Sleets. So somewhere in between those two groups. I really like Siouxsie. I grew up with The Cure and Siouxsie and all those kind of...
I think that's what you see. That's what we love about the French accent. They are Siouxsie and the Banshees, as opposed to Susie and the Banshees. Wonderful! It's great stuff. This is what we missed on the program. You see, we needed more Luke Carradine. Can't believe it's been far too long. But we'll work our way through. Actually, yes, Susie and the Banshees. Heather, do you float any? No.
No, you're looking my way.
Sometimes, Luke, I feel that the higher educational world of the British Isles, where are we going with this? Nevertheless, we will be talking to Scott Harrison, Executive Director for the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, who's got a whole range of fascinating things coming through with that. Have you got any questions that you, Luke, wish to put to either Ben about his year in industry? And being from Brighton, it was quite a shock to his system going to Crewe, just outside Stoke, to actually spend a whole year up there. I mean, Lincoln's bad enough, but Crewe. Sorry if you're from Crewe, and if you're listening in Crewe, it's all right, but it was actually quite an interesting place to pass through, really.
Yeah.
In fact, the only Lincolnshire equivalent, I could say, is probably Saltfleet.
I've never been to Saltfleet.
It's an interesting thing. We might find out more about Saltfleet from Eve McDonald,
right.
Who spent
okay.
6 months in Saltfleet trying to entertain people. anyway, Luke, who would you wish to speak to, Ben or indeed Heather?
Let's go for Ben. Let's go for Ben. I think I've got a lot to learn from Ben.
Go on. Yeah,
that's what our third years will be saying in a matter of days.
But the problem you've got with composers is we tend to spend our lives hidden in studios and in absolute ignorance. So why don't we reverse this and you just give me a little bit more of what you do, a little bit more in depth? Because it's, as I said, I know nothing about your industry. So
literally
I
knows
know
nothing.
What to ask you.
No, so basically I've just taken a year out as part of my degree, public relations degree. To basically do a year in industry. It's what's called a sandwich degree. So I've done mine at Bentley Motors, based in Crewe. And essentially I've been working in their communications department, predominantly doing external communications. So I primarily deal with car loans to any press, media or other. And then we will do events, hosting people as well. So hosting media, do media tours. In fact, Alex had a tour. Of the factory.
It was very exciting, Ben. It was the highlight of my last academic year at Hofstra, please.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And then through that as well, I've been doing sort of various other bits as well. So we did a TV documentary with Channel 4 back in it broadcast in December, but I did it between sort of September and December, and that was called Inside Bentley. It's still on the on Channel 4's website. And then with that, I did some other bits and bobs as well. So organising motor shows and stands and various other bits as well. And so overall, it was quite interesting. It was a very good insight for me, and I learned a huge amount and got to learn a lot about the company and sort of meet various different people each day, really. There was kind of no 2 days the same.
So I think it was today. It was actually this morning when I bumped into this. It must have been online. It wasn't Bentley, it was Rolls-Royce, actually. But I was watching this new video ad, they call it, online ad, for this new car that they have. And it looked absolutely stunning. It was just the machine. And I'm not a Rolls-Royce or Bentley type of person. But it was very sleek.
Do you know what it looked like at all in terms of...
The silhouette, because you could only see the silhouette. It wasn't like right in your face like you would normally expect from a BMW ad or anything like that. It was just a silhouette. It was very dark and very contrasty.
Okay.
Looked more to me like an old Jag or an old Aston Martin with a massive engine. Very American, sort of bent upwards with a slight bulge, as it were, towards the front headlights. And a very retreat, sort of the cabin, with the seats and the cabin would be pretty much to one side, as it sort of loads of engine and small cabin.
Yeah, yeah.
It did look like an old Jag or an old Martin. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks a bit like an E-type almost, a Jaguar E-type, I think is what you're thinking.
I have no idea. Like I said, I'm not a specialist, but it was pretty.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have a feeling I know the car.
You're listening to Europe Talks Cars here on Siren Radio. Over
the car,
the whole
car year. Edition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, good news is I managed to actually update yourself, Ben, and Heather online now, so you're in full force there.
Perfect.
Actually, just above Martin Fish, celebrity judge, of course, from the great Yorkshire's Harrogate Autumn Flower Show and Spring Flower Show, and indeed Lauren Wood.
Excellent.
The York Mays. Marvellous. Just shows wonderful songs there. That was awesome, I feel. I mean, you see, we don't need to worry about William Coles being blown to bits in Edinburgh, etc. William will hopefully connect with us in the second part of the programme. But you did ask for Susie and the Banshees. Well, actually, didn't I? You mentioned Susie and the Banshees. Or, as you said, Luke, Suxie. Wonderful. Great stuff. So, The Staircase, brackets, mystery, is your reward. Exciting. Susie and the Banshees, mystery. Did that float your boat, Lou Carradine?
Not just that. I was going to dare you for a musical challenge throughout the show. How about you play the best female voices of the 80s?
Whoa.
Female voices. So we've got Susie or Suxie.
Yes.
Or pronounce that. I would say we add Alison Moyet, who I love. We marched onto Kate Bush, which, my God,
yeah.
You can't bet that.
Right.
And you pick up the others, whatever.
What about Blondie? It's Blondie 80s?
Deborah Harry, 70s, 80s-ish. Yeah, she's still going strong now, of course. Mind you, so is Paul McCartney.
They have to be British. Oh. We have to stay British, 100%.
Do you know, that could almost have been written by Nigel Farage, but never mind. You know, we have to stay British 100%. But, you know, it's, we said we'd step away from that. It's all good. Okay. Well, I think we raised that. Alison Moy, a number of lines coming through from Mr. Computer. By the way, time, it's coming up to 20 to 6. In the UK, in France, of course, it's 20 to 7, an hour ahead. Can from that point of view. What have you been working on recently? Because clearly, look, we've talked about a number of movies and various other bits and pieces. What has been moving your creative muse over the last couple of years?
Oh my God, a couple of years, a lot of stuff. I was going to give you a rundown of the last couple of months.
That'll do to start off with.
I've just finished Ilana Rines, who's a good friend
absolutely.
Of ours, a common friend. Yeah. She's just finished her. A beautiful independent film that she shot in Kentucky, I think. I think it was Kentucky. It's a sort of a murder story, and it's very psychological. And you know, Ilana, it's very as a director, she's very intense, she's very witty, she's very smart and brave, I would say. And I think all of those ingredients mixed. They you find them together in this wonderful film. So I just finished the score to that, which I'm very happy with. And interestingly, actually, I've started working on video games, which is new to me because I'm not a games person. I was when I was little, but...
Was that in the day where you had, like, one little tennis bat on one side and another little tennis bat on the other? Bing! Bong!
Yeah. Bing. I used to love those, actually. Bong.
But kept us occupied.
Sweet ball.
It's a beast of a game, and I couldn't believe the money, I have to say. Probably I shouldn't say
no, that. No, best not to, really. You know, c'est incroyable.
I tell you, it's between you and me, it's like 20-fold what I get in the film business. So it's just, okay.
And the
guys,
moral of the story is get into the games industry.
Sorry, would you say then in games industry, would you say composing, is there more competition or less competition amongst composers to work in that industry? Obviously, because if the money's high, surely that must mean there's a cry out.
What about
know,
the arts?
A cry
Ben?
For
what
demand.
About the arts?
I think it's fair to say it's sort of a small caveat here. The money's high possibly because I came into the industry from a very established position in my previous industries, and I was taken in high regard, as it were, by the producers of the game. I don't know if, on the contrary, if you just start a career from scratch, I think it's very hard to sort of start from.
Not everybody has the joy of appearing on the Midweek Drive, let's face it.
I say this not to sort of blow my own horn, as it were, but just to give a word of warning. I wouldn't want to give the idea, oh my God, it's the El Dorado, because in this day and age, no industry is. There's competition everywhere you look, and especially in the creative industries, it's very cutthroat, as you probably have learned at Bentley themselves, because it's creative too in a way, in many ways.
Definitely.
And so there are lots of composers that specialize in games, but the air that you breathe is of one of more freedom, that's for sure. I think in film and TV, normally you ask to gimmick something that pre-exists, because for some reason the producers don't like risks with music and with many other things, with narrative and genres and many other things. So they tend to ask you to sound like something else, and the freedom that you get at the end is very narrow. It's very tiny. Whereas in games, it's like, yeah, go wild, do whatever you want. Yeah. They ask you about your emotions and your sentiments towards the game, and what does it mean to you? And you get questions.
Which presumably, Ben, means that the composer for Angry Birds must have been delighted.
Hey, well, I imagine so. Well, but then again, the game came before the film,
exactly.
So they only have to focus on the game to focus on the. Yeah,
Heather, are you a games girl? I mean, do you sort of spend time of your life sort of sorting out various computer systems, or is it a case of no, I've got other people to do that for me?
I'm definitely not a gamer, but Luke, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to the music that you do for games, do you play the games first, do you get a feel for them, or do you just write the music that's in your head?
No. I had to, and delightfully so, focus on the game for about a couple of months, I was given a full brief, which was about 80 pages long, as to the entire story, because it is a very complex affair. It's very vast. And then I attempted the first run, which was a disaster, because I am not a gamer. I asked my son, who's a 12-year-old, and in 10 minutes, he was like on level 10. So I thought, okay, so how about you play the game and I just watched, which is what I've done for what I did for 2 months. And then after that, I knew the environment. I had a good feel for what it needed, and I went for that. Well, I started from that and, you know, went on to do the rest.
Which brings us neatly round to Alison Moyet. Heather, are you familiar with the artist?
Heard the name, but don't.
So it's a choosing between Love Letters, That Old Devil Called Love, or All Cried Out. It's a random choice, isn't it?
It is for me.
Is it equally random for yourself, Ben?
Yeah, which is why I now delegate this decision to Luke.
Nice, good. I see what you did there. Keeps that can that can entente cordiale going with Can, Lincoln, and Morse.
Anglo-French collection.
Exactly.
There we go.
Clearly, it's being to Brighton. Of course, you probably feel much more spiritually closer to Can than closer to Lincoln.
I think I'm closer to France than I am I am closer to France than I am to Lincoln.
Exactly. Spiritually, emotionally, geographically, it's all there. So
you know the funny thing. Alex, you've been pitching me as a French, but I'm actually half Italian, half British. So,
I know. This is, you see, these are the kind of moments where you just realise that, you know, what's the thing with borders, etc. I just feel as though in so many ways, I know there's an Italian aspect in there, but surely, you know, we need the French aspect as well. Still, never mind. I'm sure there must be some French spirituality there. If not, no worries. I mean, I've often said what Canada's actually needed, as indeed the whole country of France, are more Italian English people living there. So which one would you like to go for then of the selection we've just given you? All Cried Out, Love Letters, or That Old Devil Called Love by the aforementioned Alf, who changed her name to Alison Moyet?
Can we go for Love Letters?
I think that's a perfect line, and here it comes. And you recognised it after all, Heather?
I know. misspent youth, I think.
Oh, well, it's there. It's, and Ben, did you recognise that?
No.
Although you defined it as though sounding it as a bit like an old Bond tune.
It sounds like a song you'd hear in a James Bond film. One of the old classic ones, sort of 70s, 80s. Sort of.
It's fair to say, Luke, that Love Letters Straight from the Heart, that was a cover version. That was Alison Moyer doing a cover version of the original, which I think was back in the 1950s. Have to check it out on various social media to work through that. So that was the other line for that. Anyway, moving on. In a few moments from now, we'll be going off to Los Angeles. Yes, Los Angeles, Cannes, film, Lincoln. Now, that's got to be an exciting link, hasn't it, Heather? You know, that's worth staying for, just for those three links alone.
Yeah, truly global tonight, Alex.
Truly global every week, we like to say, in many ways, Heather. But we'll be going round to that by somebody who, of whom it was once said, in an episode of The Outer Limits, actually, I quite frankly think that the music of Bach will outlive us all. Paraphrasing the original David McCallum line there. But that effectively teases up Johann Sebastian Bach, a composer who's now decomposing. See what I did there? I thought Luke might have got it, at least, decomposing composers. Luke, if we said Johann Sebastian Bach, would that be good for you?
No, absolutely.
A concerto in D minor for two with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, taking us round, all being well, to the Chief Executive Officer of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, Scott Harrison.
Thank you.
It's just a smidgen there of another Luke Carradine classic, A Present for Dimitri, our composer, currently based in Cannes and still online. Is that not right, Luke?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Yeah. And we also can welcome now, finally, after a little juggling around and actually going to stepping out of the office, stepping inside the office, the awesomeness that is from the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, the one and only Scott Harrison. How are you, Scott?
I am great, Alex. I am great. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. It's always a delight there. We're a little bit worried because for a moment I thought we'd allowed ample time for Johann Sebastian Bach to lead us through to your good self. But in the end we thought, no, we need a little smidgen of all sorts of things there. Luke, as a film composer, I presume you've been over to Los Angeles beforehand?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So, I thought we'd do something slightly different here, Scott, because in addition to the three fabulous midweek drivettes, yes, we've been joined by Eva MacDonald. Yay, Eva!
Hello.
Back as a classically trained singer, classically trained Skinner, if I remember that.
Skinner, I know.
So we still have the wonderful Heather Knox and the awesome Ben Lewis as well in the studio, but this is a chance to actually connect Los Angeles with Lincoln, England. And would you define yourself, Luke, as being in Cannes or just outside Cannes in France?
Just outside Cannes. I'm at a village called Mougins, which is known for hosting Picasso in its later days. And it's sort of a Picasso-themed village, but it's only a mile from Cannes, perhaps. It's very close.
Works well. And clearly, when you've got the executive director for the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, Scott Harrison, back on the show, there are so many updates, Scott, including a new London composer that's actually going to be starting work with the LACO in a matter of days, really.
Well, new London conductor.
And you're quite right, exactly. It's been so exciting trying to reach you via cellar office, etc. We were just running through that. You're quite right. A new London conductor. So
our new music director is a fantastic musician, Jaime Martin, Spanish born, but at about the age of 25 or so, after studying in Amsterdam, he moved to London, became one of the top flutists in London, playing with all the major orchestras, the Academy of St. Martin and the London Philharmonic and the Philharmonia. His wife is a member of the London Symphony. And about 7 or 8 years ago, he moved into a conducting career, had a meteoric rise. I mean, it's just connecting and making beautiful music with orchestras all over the world. And we met him and had our concert with him, and it was electricity and love at first sight, really. And we snagged him up as our new music director, and we are so incredibly excited. And you're right, it's going to bring a dash of Spain, a dash of Britain, a dash of all sorts of new energy to the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra.
Well, having just identified, of course, as we said, that Luke Carradine, not French, but Italian-English, it's only right that we make sure that Jaime Martin is indeed Spanish-English. Very important. Born in Spain, long-time London resident, Jaime was indeed selected as Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra's music director following an extensive international search. I just have to say, I don't know how you could have missed Luke Carradine, possibly because, Luke, you're more of a composer as opposed to a conductor, but just a thought there.
Yes, exactly.
Listen, let's break it down to a little bit more. Shall we take a little Heine Martin piece of music to ease us through into the next line of things here and just get a flavour in terms of what Heine's doing? And then again, Luke, if you can cast your critical ear over this, and then Scott, you can chat about this wonderful thing and the aspects that London resident Heine Martin is going to be involved with. I mean, it's interesting, since turning to conducting 5 years ago, Martin has worked with the London Philharmonic, Frankfurt Radio, Radio Symphony Orchestra, the St Paul Chamber, the New Zealand Symphony, the Queensland Symphony, the Royal Scottish National, and the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, and the Antwerp. I mean, there's so many. It's easy to list the ones he hasn't stated with from that point of view. So let's have a little listen to Heine Martin conducting the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra with this piece. I think we'll take a brief break there. Would you like to share with us, Scott, just what we were listening to in terms of Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra?
Yes, that was Mozart, the overture from the Abduction from the Seraglio, and that was actually the first time that Heine conducted the orchestra last September. It was the first moments of electricity and chemistry pulsing through our concert halls, and as I think you could hear in even just that little brief clip, there's something really special going on, and that's why we very quickly moved after our long search to secure and appoint Heine as the man to take LACO into its next era.
Over to you, Luke. Your thoughts. I mean, I appreciate it's not necessarily the best way to listen to Mozart across a telephone line via Skype through to a little place just outside Cannes. But what did you make of that? Did it send? I mean, I think we got chills in the studio, Ben.
It was actually really quite interesting to listen to. It's there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I think
Heather,
very moving.
Sorry, it's okay. The floor is yours, Luke.
I'm sorry. So first of all, lovely to meet talk to you, Scott. I think that interpretation there is definitely, it's got a pulse. It's really, it's sort of, it's got a certain beat and a certain energy that, I mean, the performance I'm acquainted with in terms of Seraglio is the classic Carl Böhm. And I think in comparison, this one is definitely more ballsy, shall we say. I loved it. I really do. I love to hear the whole thing.
It's got to be a win-win situation there. In the studio again, Eva, you said, I like this music, and as a classically trained soul, it's something that floats
you
your
know,
boat.
Any kind of classical music I really love, so I'm always, it's always a win-win with me, Alex.
As we've said, Scott, one of these days we will have to hire that Learjet and fly the midweek drivettes over to Los Angeles for a full performance of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. Or at least get you guys over here again, because one of those two things we'll sort through. So exciting times there. Luke, it's over to you. Quiz you from a musical perspective, would you like to quiz Scott about life, the universe, and so on?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, the name of the ensemble is the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, but obviously you go chamber and beyond, because otherwise, you know, I mean, Mozart, I can't, what is it, an 18-piece or 22-piece? So how vast or how flexible are you with the arrangement of and the hiring of musicians, and how large have you gotten in terms of recent performances? Yeah.
That's a great question, Luke. Our roster, our tenured roster is actually 40 musicians, and they all hold their positions in LACO. And a number of our orchestral concerts do use that orchestra of about 40. So that's what you were hearing on the Mozart, for example. And that's what you hear in a lot of our repertoire is, you know, a string section of about 22 or 23. And then we've got generally pairs of oboes, flutes, clarinets, bassoons, horns, and trumpets, and a timpani player. But we do scale quite a bit. We often scale down and do a lot of Baroque repertoire and some modern repertoire that calls for, like you said, 18, 20, 22 players in a much more intimate setting. We sometimes scale up. We've done some projects that have brought in, had the orchestra as large as 50 or 52 musicians. We did an intimate version of Beethoven 9 a couple years ago that called on 52 musicians. And sometimes we get even smaller and do a lot of chamber music, a lot of intriguing and avant-garde sort of performances in unique spaces. So flexibility and versatility are very much built into the orchestra's mission and mandate, not only in terms of the number of musicians we employ on any service, but also the types of repertoire and the types of experiences we offer our audiences.
Brilliant. So am I allowed another one, Alex?
Of course you are. It's your special Skype debut. Go for it, Luke.
Thank you. Now, I just wanted to fathom your thoughts in terms of, like, I've heard that there's quite a bit of concern amongst orchestras in Los Angeles, as a lot of work has been taken by various entities, orchestras and groups in Europe. And this has been going on for many years, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Does this affect your end of the industry, or is it more my end in terms of people working in the film scene and things like that? I mean, what is the scene at the moment in Los Angeles? Is it healthy enough? I mean, how are you swimming those waters, as it were?
That's a great question, and it's particularly germane to LACO, because as some of the listeners might know, because I believe I've mentioned it before, LACO's musicians, many of them play in the studios. Our orchestra is not full-time, so it's many of our musicians, their sort of primary living in music is being the top studio musicians on the soundtracks and the recording projects and whatever they might be around town. And so yes, the fortunes of our musicians are very much tied to the amount of work there is in the studios. And there certainly, for a number of years, I think was a little bit of an ebb, and a lot of that work was going to Europe. But there's been a lot of a big push to bring a lot of that work back to LA. I think in part, a lot of the top composers more and more are saying, we don't want to spend a month in Europe when we're doing a project. We want to stay at home. So if a John Williams or James Newton Howard or someone is doing a project, they often want to now do it in LA, and they've got the clout to do that. But also, we just passed, and this was something that LACO joined with a number of other orchestras to join our friends at the Musicians Union. It was their initiative, but the Musicians Union successfully lobbied the state government to pass a tax incentive package to keep more of that studio recording work in Los Angeles, in the state of California. So I think there's some rosy days ahead, but I ultimately think there's so much work going on through movies, TV, internet, new media, that hopefully there's enough work to keep everyone busy in Europe and in the States.
There's always room for musicians. Clearly. Scott, this upcoming season, I mean, just when I thought, you know, you can't better the 2017-2018 season, but 2018-19 season, we have got three world premieres, all LACO commissions and co-commissions. You're also introducing Session, which introduces, explores classical music's cutting edge in unusual places. So talk to us about Session, classical music in unusual places. Have we gone beyond the elevator?
Yes. Exactly. The elevator is way too tame for this series. We actually did a pilot. We did a little test of the series back in May, and it was held in the performance hall of a very popular brewery here in Los Angeles, in a very hip part of town, and it was a smash success. It was sold out. It was packed. It was music in the round, but instead of the musicians being in the center and the audience being around them, the audience was in the center, and the musicians were set up sort of antiphonally around the musicians, and we worked around the audience, and we worked with this great team of designers to create a real aesthetic and an atmosphere for the evening, and it was powerful. I mean, it really, I think, left a real impression on the people in the audience. The next one in the series is coming up in October. Derek Spiva, who's an important part of the Lakel family, brilliant composer here in Los Angeles, he's curating, and we're going to be at a very cool art gallery, Hauser & Wirth, in Los Angeles, and we're integrating the performance into the gallery, sort of amongst some of the artworks. And Derek is taking us on a musical tour that's featuring five living composers, including himself, all of whom will be there to be part of the evening, and whose music will take us from New Zealand to Italy to India to Mexico to West Africa and back to America. So it's really something quite different. And in a nutshell, the sort of the idea of session, the idea of this new initiative, is to really try and dissolve those boundaries or those barriers that people have about what a concert has to be, and to offer completely different ways of looking at and interacting and experiencing music.
I'm particularly interested in Great Britain a la carte, which many people would actually say that's the only way forward, really. Heather, any questions you'd like to put from the studio perspective?
Scott, I'm just quite interested. Do you always travel as an orchestra of 40? So if you're in these weird and wonderful spaces, do you all fit in, or do you have to have a slightly smaller group who are playing on those days?
Yeah. Great question, and it's similar to what Luke asked earlier. This is definitely a place where we play off our flexibility, because it wouldn't really work well to bring the whole orchestra to some of these spaces. So these concerts are often designed to use a smaller subset or complement of the orchestra. And it's just another example of how we can scale up and scale down to make the most or take advantage of whatever the certain situation might be. So these session concerts tend to use between 12 and 15 musicians in all sorts of different arrangements and combinations.
That's really interesting. Have you got one place that you desperately want to play in Los Angeles? Is there a top place that you definitely want to get to new type of session?
Oh, gosh, what an absolutely great question. I'd love to do one on one of the sound stages, speaking of the studio world, of one of the sound stages where the Hollywood soundtracks are recorded. I think that would be fascinating for our audiences to step into that world and to see what we could create out of that space. I'm also very intrigued to go to Venice, right on the beach, and some of those very intriguing, quirky, old locations out there. So, I mean, there's a ton of, I can imagine going to the Getty Villa out in Malibu. I mean, I think the possibilities are endless. So,
what about the Bradbury Building?
I need to think about that more. I'm so glad you asked.
I'm throwing the Bradbury Building as well as a possibility. That would be an interesting one.
Yes. Yeah. The Bradbury would be fantastic. You're right.
And just again, from the good news point of view, if you're aged between 17 to 30 years of age, you can actually have a season pass to the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra for $30, which is equivalent to $1 per ticket. 50p per ticket. It's amazing. Luke, it's been awesome. Ben, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, just one more question, mainly for Scott, but I think Luke probably, it ties Luke as well into this. But would you find classical music, or certainly orchestral music, is appealing more to a younger audience than it ever has done?
Well,
I'm seeing quite a bit of that, and I think that these new projects, these new initiatives are a big part of that. I think it's a red herring to say that young people don't care for classical music. I think what they don't care for are some of the stuffy conventions that put up barriers and keep people out. So I think that we see, as we continually work to make ourselves more welcoming, more inclusive, to push into new venues, to push into new arenas, we continually see an audience that's younger, that's more diverse, that more fully represents this wonderfully diverse city of Los Angeles we live in, just like the wonderfully diverse city of London that and beyond in the UK that you live in. So,
and Lincoln, of course.
I
you can mention
London,
Lincoln.
You guys are all over.
Exactly. You know, and can, of course, you know, less so. But, Eva, yes. as a young... Because you're 22?
Yes, I'm 22 now.
22, okay. So yeah, and you've always had this passion for classical music?
Yes, I love classical music. I think I wasn't really brought up with classical music, but I think I started liking it around age 11, 12, and I've just continued to like it from there, really. So I can represent the younger work generation if you want, Alex.
A win-win situation. LOCAO.org, that's LACO.org, is the go-to website to find out all manner of wonderful things from that point of view. Scott, it's been awesome as ever. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this fairly regular connectivity with the Lincoln in England and Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra? Has it been okay for you?
It has, and Alex, can I mention one last quick thing?
Of course.
For those who are in or around London, on Sunday, October 21st, Jaime Martín, LACO's new music director, makes his London Symphony debut at the Barbican. So on Sunday, the 21st of October, if you're in or around London, I'm sure there's some great accessible tickets in the stalls and tickets all throughout. I hope that you'll go check out Jaime and be part of his new fan club.
I think we should definitely look at setting up a little trip down to actually call that out at the Barbican. What say you, Luke? Will you be coming over from France for that?
I just wanted to answer, just put my two cents in into Ben's question.
Indeed.
I think neoclassical music has definitely brought a new breath of life into the scene. However, I'm not too sure, especially amongst the young, but I'm not too sure to what extent the old classics have sort of expanded their influence amongst new generations. I think neoclassical is definitely a way into that, and people who are attracted to the sound, which sometimes blend with chill-out music, and it's quite vast, actually, can sometimes lead ultimately into proper classical repertoire. And by classical, I don't just mean the Viennese period, but anything from Baroque or Renaissance to, you know, Second World War and beyond. But I think the neoclassical thing, it's key. And I think there are some great composers that have come out in recent years, and there's a lot of that music has ended in films. Probably Scott, have you played? Do you have a repertoire neoclassical that you've explored?
Oh, yes, a lot of that. I mean, a lot of Stravinsky, Britten, Shostakovich. So we play a lot of music from that period up into, as we mentioned, a lot of contemporary composers. So, I mean, LACO's repertoire is 400 years from, you know, Orlando Gibbons and Bach all the way up to the present day. So we cover quite a bit of terrain. But you're right. I mean, I think that having that expansive view of classical music is helpful because people are often turned off if they think it's only one type of thing or one very specific music from one very specific period, but classical music is broad, and so there's a lot of ways to get people involved and engaged.
Absolutely.
It's been awesome. Scott, can I take it you'll return in the very near future?
I love it. I'll be back whenever you want me.
A round of applause for Scott Harrison, please.
Well,
and meanwhile, with a totally different key change.
I own it.
we've got a fuzz box and we're going to use it, and it's welcome back to the program after far, far, far too long, and ahead of Polyfest to the awesome Vix. How are you, Vix?
Oh, I'm fabulous, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. As I say, we've been fuzz boxless for far too long, but what better way to actually...
Yes, serious condition.
Now, let's look at that. I mean, Fuzzbox, effectively, still the most successful all-girl band who play instruments, okay, that the UK have ever produced. There we are.
This is true.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know, it's bonkers, isn't it? Especially considering, you know, when we started, we didn't even, well, to say we didn't realise we were girls sounds a little unusual, but we weren't formed, you know, sort of put together on purpose. And when we started to get into interviews, and journalists would say to us, so why are you all girls? We'd be like, you know, so it was never an intentional thing, but we're certainly very proud of that now.
Quite rightly so too. Now, upcoming, of course, Polyfest, a grand event in London, which takes place, like Polyfest 6, because we've already had excerpts from Polyfest 5 with, indeed, the aforementioned Germ-Free Adolescence. Talk to us about it. What's it all about, and why should people, if they're checking out the London area, we've talked about October 21st and seeing Heine Martin conduct at the Barbican Theatre. This is something from another end of the musical joy. What is it all about with Polyfest 6?
Oh, absolutely great. The lineup's ridiculous. People keep saying, are you sure it's only £10? Because there's about, 100 people kind of with names playing and DJing and performing and stuff. So it's absolutely jam-packed full of people who want to support this event and celebrate, you know, X-ray specs and polystyrene specifically as well, of course. And the money all goes to Rock and Roll Rescue. So it helps go back into the community, buys instruments for kids, food banks and so on. So it's really excellent calls.
Doctor and the Medics, John Otway, The Vapors, The Vibrators, Tom Hingley from Inspiral Carpets, The Rubettes, The Garsooms, Paul Wagstaff, Black Grape, Ed Blaney, She-Robot, various members of The Lurkers, Massive Attack and The Smiths. It's not a bad lineup, is it, Ben?
Well, it sounds quite good.
That's about half of it.
Exactly.
There's more, I know. It is not about that lineup at all. So we're really looking forward to playing it. And I know that they were quite, you know, keen on getting more of a female sort of side of things. So they dragged us in.
It's an essential part of the whole sort of system from that. Heather, any questions you'd like to put to Vix?
So,
you might be just a tad after the generation of Fuzzbox, really. I mean, things like Pink Sunshine, International Rescue, you. I mean, you're nodding, Eva. You remember Pink Sunshine, surely?
Oh, I can be a Pink Sunshine. But yes, I'm after that generation, so.
That very nicely.
It is unfortunately before my time, but it does sound like an amazing.
So was Johann Sebastian Bach, but we could still talk about him. So let's face it.
Well, yeah. In a very similar category, of course.
I'd like to think so, Vix. You know, I mean, I think it's you got your Bach's Cantata on the one hand, and you got Pink Sunshine and International Rescue on the other. It's amazing.
Exactly. I can play them all on ukulele.
And that you share with us the ukulele, which is a critical aspect of the whole sort of thing, really.
Definitely.
So the other thing about polystyrene is, of course, it's a celebration of the late great polystyrene, or Polyfest, I should say, and, of course, the 40th anniversary. Can you believe it? We played it early in the programme, Germ-Free Adolescence, 40 years ago, when Ben was just 26.
This sounds about right.
They were an absolutely amazing selection of songs. You forget how many really, really great, you know, well-constructed sing-along songs they had. And... like Maggie and Fuzzbox, we were thinking of maybe doing a little sneaky cover. And we just kept batting, what about this, what about that? No, I think that'd be good. Oh, you know, people are saying, why don't you do Germ-Free Adolescence? Why don't you do I Live Off You? Why don't you do, you know, Oh Bondage Up Yours? I mean, so many different things that you could do. So we're still slightly debating what we're going to do, but I think we will cover something.
Now, that would be really nice.
Just nailing it down here. It's Polyfest 2018. You can have a 2-day early bird ticket. It's at the Dublin Castle in London. So if people are confused, they say, it's Dublin Castle. Do I have to go over to Ireland? No, it's the Dublin Castle in London. Would you like to share with us where exactly that is in London? Otherwise, people might get confused and end up looking for Irish passports as well.
Yeah, don't go and do that. You don't want to do that. I mean, nice to do it, but not that weekend, you're not allowed. So it's in Camden, so very cool, expensive place to be. Dublin Castle's been going for ages. It's not a real castle, it's a pub. Right. So, yeah.
Is it an Irish pub, though? That's the...
it's
question.
94 Parkway, London, as I say, in Camden Town. So a little bit away from where you were working in the heart of Soho,
yeah,
Ben.
But it's near Regent's Park, isn't it? So very nice area.
We've also got Dave Barbarossa from Adam and the Ants, Bow Wow Wow and Republica, Uber Foos, Steve Etherington, John Richardson, the Stone Roses, David Sinclair, Jenny Batts. It's just awesome. Any questions for yourself, Eva?
So Fuzzbox. So whenabouts was Fuzzbox then? Because I
Fuzzbox?
I was before the time, so
exactly. Whenabouts was Fuzzbox, and where was it emerging from?
Right. So back in 1985, myself and three friends were out kind of clubbing and going to gigs, and we absolutely loved music, and we were always very supportive of, you know, other people's bands and so on. And a friend's band said to us that they were doing a gig on Sunday, but they didn't have any support band. And, yeah, if we knew anybody, could we ask around? And we were like, that'll be us, so we'll do it. They're like, really? Didn't even know you were a band. And we're like, really? Didn't you know that? So, well, we are. And they said, OK, well, that's booked. So we went off and giggling away because we didn't have any sort of band, never been in a band. I used to do quite a lot of sort of solo singing competitions and singing in choirs and things, and Joe could play a few chords, and that was really it. And we didn't realise that you kind of, ideally, you would pick a drummer, a bassist, a guitarist, and all the kind of traditional components of a band. So we just got together before the gig on the afternoon. We cobbled together a few songs, bashing metal coils, and we had like a really badly tuned violin that only had two strings. We put through like an effects box, and then we had bass or a guitar because we didn't know that you meant to have both. Put through a fuzz box and did lots of woo woo woo.
And that's you need lots of woo. Do you know, I've reached a historic moment because I'm going to put this to the team, but I'm sure I'll be perfectly okay. Currently, the Fuzzbox official Facebook page has 4,599 people liking it. Shall we make it the 4,600 number? What do you think, Ben?
We can do, yeah. Or if we get the listeners involved, I'm sure we can make it 5,000.
I was just about to jump on you for being so nice. Yeah, I can do. I was thinking, come on,
Simone. Exactly. Thank you. You see, that's the kind of energy. That's the kind of energy.
What's the effort in, man?
I've provided an alternative solution there.
I've done it. I've sorted it. I'm not unlike you. I've gone for that. Heather.
Well, I'm sorry you had to debate it. you need to work on this team, Alex. Seriously.
Sometimes. Yeah, Ben's been away for a year. Sometimes he's working through that. Heather, bless her. The first time she stayed for longer than half an hour. It's just genius stuff that I need. We'll get ourselves sorted out. To lead us into the next thing, what would you recommend, Vix? Would you say Pink Sunshine or International Rescue, or you would be the best sort of selection from Fuzzbox?
Well, you know what? Nobody tends to ask for you. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed you've got you. How have you got you? It wasn't even a single. This is amazing.
Because we feel it's only right to do our research, Vix, and to ensure that there are various things there.
Well, if you wanted the more kind of punky, poppy stuff, you'd have something like Rules and Regulations. I'd say probably the most popular one is most likely Pink Sunshine, really, because it's just such a nice, happy kind of song. And the sun is setting here in Birmingham anyway.
And I've just realised Luke Carradine has been listening to this, etc. Luke, we haven't had a chance to connect your good self from Cannes or just outside Cannes in France with Vic. So, Luke, from what you've been hearing to Fuzzbox, etc., and we're about to go into Pink Sunshine, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Vic? And can we get Fuzzbox at the next Cannes Film Festival? Because I think that must be a good thing. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Send me the tickets. I'm there.
Are you there, Luke? Do you know, I think he might have gone.
Hello.
Exactly. Outrageous. You know, sometimes the sort of connectivity just goes crazy on the whole thing. Never mind. Pink Sunshine continues. Take care. We'll speak. Oh, in fact, actually, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Vix?
I had a fabulous time, short but sweet.
Will you be back with us again in the very near future?
Lovely. I hope you like the new single. And do get on. Our pledge campaign is about to finish. So if you go on Pledge Music and search for Fuzzbox, you can get our single and T-shirt and signed stuff and exclusive bangs.
And here's Pink Sunshine.
Hey, thank you. Bye.
Okay, so fingers crossed Luke Carradine is back with us. Are you back with us, Luke?
Yes, I am. Apologies, it's a little bit complicated.
It's a little bit complicated. I mean, we just went through the entire piece with Vix from Fuzzbox, and we thought, oh, we've got about Luke. Sometimes. We haven't forgot about Malcolm Tomlinson, who is with us again. How are you, Malcolm Tomlinson?
Really good, thanks, Alex. Good to be back.
Good. Now, Malcolm, obviously Eleanor's done the Cannes Film Festival, has she not?
She's been once. She was not up for any awards. She was just sort of, with the hoi polloi.
When they actually do the movie version of Poldark, and clearly Demelza has to have a role within that, played by Eleanor Tomlinson, she'll be there. And, of course, you'll be there yourself, Malcolm, because we're here to talk about your play, which is going to be absolutely awesome, except it doesn't have music by Luke Carradine, who's online at present. So there we are. So we got Luke Carradine in France, although he's actually Italian and English, as we identified in the first part of the programme. He's been co-hosting the show from just outside Cannes. Whereabouts outside Cannes, Luke?
Exactly at a village called Mougins, which is very tiny indeed, like Provençal type of village, and it's known for having hosted Picasso in its later days. So he died, I think he died here, yes, in the last 10 years.
You know, it's obviously Mougins, the place Picasso went to die, perhaps not the strongest strap line to actually promote. In the studio, Ben Lewis.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
And the fantastic, amazing, wonderful Heather Knox.
Oh, you're going to make me blush, Alex. Hello.
We haven't even spoken about open doses yet. It's a whole new field. And, of course, Eva McDonald's back with us.
Hello, yes, I am.
Yes. So, Malcolm, who do you wish to go to talk about art and the play that actually launches just before the next open day. So, Heather, if you fancy seeing an awesome production with Malcolm Tomlinson and friends in Yorkshire just ahead of the next open day, this is the opportunity. Malcolm, that's your cue. Take it away, please.
Why don't I just talk to everybody and tell you that, the play starts next Thursday, Thursday the 27th. It's by a French writer called, Antonio Rezza, and it's adapted by Christopher Hampton. And it's a play about three guys who've been lifelong friends, and one of them buys a piece of art, and he spends $100,000 on it. And he brings it back, and he gets his friends to come round to see it, and one of them looks at it and goes, "That's crap." And it sort of all goes on from there, and it's a play about friendship and love, but it's a comedy, and it's the director actually said to us today, if you're doing a radio interview, describe it as Samuel Beckett writing for Woody Allen, and people will know exactly what it'll be like.
Are you there, Luke? Sorry, he's lost in a different world. So, no, he's gone. Never mind. He's we're going to try and call him again. Really, sometimes you think the technology is there, but Ben, does that float your boat in terms of going to the eastridingtheatre.co.uk and seeing Richard Avery, Malcolm Tomlinson, and Clive Kneller putting their real life friendship on the stage in one of the most successful comedies of all time?
It sounds very interesting, actually. It's I'm not someone who tends to see many plays, if I'm honest with you, but it does sound quite interesting, and weirdly quite ties in with Luke, being the sort of connection with art and France.
Or disconnection, as we're currently experiencing.
Oh, disconnection, yeah, that is the current atmosphere at this moment in time.
He's back again now. It's like a rubber ball, like a rubber band, really. It's worked wonderfully. Welcome back,
Sorry,
Luke.
Apologies.
It's quite all right. We should have actually stuck with your French background as opposed to Italian and English. Would have been all right there.
Is it working against me, then?
Whatever. Heather, would you be checking out this acclaimed international hit, directed, in fact, by the Royal Shakespeare Company actor and newcomer to East Riding Theatre, Martin Hudson, who actually said, "Yasmina Rezza pulled off an extraordinary sleight of hand. While we think we are watching a brilliantly funny and acutely observed comedy about three friends arguing over a painting, she is secretly serving up a profound and deeply moving play about friendship, fear and the human condition."
Absolutely. It sounds amazing. Malcolm, so you're working with your friends. How does that sort of happen?
He has lots of them.
Is it a good thing? Do you all work well together? Or have there been a few moments where you thought, really, just need to go to the pub and have a little drink?
I like your style. No, it's definitely a good thing. It's always a good thing working with friends, Heather. Yeah. And I've worked with both of them before, so that's good. I've never worked with Martin, the director, before. But he's great, yeah, he's quite new to directing, but he's actually married to quite a successful director called Jonathan Newby, and they're a married couple, and I think he just wanted to, you know, have a go at directing himself. He's a professional actor of some repute himself, Royal Shakespeare Company, as Alex was saying, and he's turned his hand to directing, and he's really good at the job, so, you know, it's a pleasure to do it at the minute, and we're having fun.
Well, it's a way of stepping along the jives of the horse racing, commentating, and various other bits and pieces. By the way, Malcolm, it's high time we actually had the contractual play of this little ident.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Luc Corradine, je suis le music compositeur du le film No Panic with a Hint of Hysteria. Et vous écoutez Alex Levchuk. Midweek Drivets.
You see, I think it's only fair to say, ultimately, Malcolm, that you need to have somebody who's Italian-English to actually deliver in French a line that sort of it works in some strange way, I feel.
No, it doesn't.
Look, we worked very hard on the south bank of the River Thames, crafting that. I mean, I seem to recall we actually spent at least 3 or 4 days actually just ensuring we got the right inflection and various other. And I'm going to ask in a matter of moments, after we find out how people can actually see art, obviously buy a ticket, go to the theatre, quite simple. We're going to ask Malcolm to actually do one of his unique horse racing commentary style pieces with, of course, Heather. I was going to say Heather Knox. It is Heather Knox. Yes, there can only be one Heather. It is Heather Knox, Eva MacDonald, Ben, not Lee. Stick with me. That's not Ben Lee. It's clearly Ben Lewis and Luke Carradine.
It's a Christmas cracker joke, Alex.
Did you think so?
Okay, well, Yeah. What happened to Lauren Wood? She's on my show.
Yeah.
Are you just ignoring her, Alan?
I'm afraid Lauren has not managed to make the studio today, so the part of Lauren today is being played by Luke Carradine, who is connecting from the whole system. Anyway, quickly, how can people actually get tickets, if they're still available, for art in the near future?
There's a few available. Thursday the 27th we opened. It's on until Saturday the 20th of October, and if you go on the East Riding Theatre website, you'll be able to access their booking system, which is very simple, and even numpties like me who know nothing about computers can book them on there as well, so it's very simple.
Well, there's one day, Mal, coming back, you can act via Skype, and then you can co-host the whole show again in person from that point of view. By the way, the track that we're going through is following Luke's suggestion in the first part of the production that we should go for female vocalists, female British vocalists, and I'm going to leave it up to you, Malcolm, to decide. It's Kate Bush, but would you like Wuthering Heights, Babushka, Cloud Busting, December is Magic Again, not really the right time, Wow, somewhere in between. Those are the Kate Bush numbers that are actually up there. Which one would you like to suggest?
It's got to be Wuthering Heights. I love that version of Wuthering Heights.
Well, you know what you need to do now, Malcolm, to actually launch this whole thing through. I'm sure Luke might be able to work this out. Got the man with the child in his eyes, but no, you want Wuthering Heights. Would you like to take it away? You've got the team. Ben, have you ever had one of these Malcolm Tomlinson intros before? I don't think you have, actually.
I don't think so, no.
Eva, have you? No, you haven't. Luke certainly hasn't, as well aware of. And Heather, no, because normally you've left and gone home by now. So it's a bit of peak, so that's it. I'm out of here. Okay, Malcolm, the floor is yours.
Set to go for the midweek drive. 5 furlongs in front of them, and they're off. And Ben Lewis is away, well followed by Eva MacDonald, and Heather Knox got a good start. Alex Lepchuk slow to go, and Lauren Wood's been left in the stall. She's an odd runner through the first couple of furlongs. They go, and it's Alex Lepchuk moving through towards the outside. Eva MacDonald making ground from Ben Lewis and Luke Carradine towards the outside, but here comes Kate Bush with Wuthering Heights.
Oh,
which could also serve as the kind of weather they've been having in Scotland. Isn't that right, William Coles?
That is right.
OK, William, you're at the end of the programme, so clearly we save part of the best to last, because we're connecting your good self in Edinburgh with Mougins, which is where, do you think, William? Where do you think Mougins happens to be?
Luzon, in the Philippines.
No, you see, pronunciation. Luke, I think it's fair to say you're nowhere near the Philippines at present. I'll try and say it again. Mougins.
No, well, you're putting on a French accent. Could it be France?
Luke, I think you need to chirp in. I mean, you've been with us pretty much for the whole show. So would you like to share with us once again whereabouts in France your fine Italian and English background has found its location?
We're only about a mile north of Cannes, just off the coast, between the Alps and the Mediterranean. A little village, Mougins.
And it's fair to say that presumably Mougins has not been as subject to the inclement weather that William Coles has, including being on a bus, I believe, in the early part of the programme. Is that right, Bill?
Yes, indeed.
So what is the weather like in Mougins at present?
It's very pleasant. It's been pleasant for about 2 weeks. We've had a very, very humid summer, and I mean definitely more humid than what I was used to in London. Mm. But it's unfortunately we plagued by tiger mosquitoes, which are a very aggressive breed of mosquitoes, which come in stripes. They're like zebras almost, and they are very ferocious. So that's the only drawback, I'm afraid.
Much like the French. No, I would certainly have a go there. You can't start comparing nationalities with breeds of insects, otherwise you'd start talking about midges and Scottish people. It's, you know, yeah. Also in the studio, William, the welcome return of Ben Lewis.
Yes, hello, William.
Hail to the chief.
Yeah, it's interesting. Not quite as interesting, of course, as this one.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
So technically, now you've actually done this whole show, you do qualify for your own jingle and I don't, so we'll have to start working on that one, really. Very good.
I cannot wait for that.
Heather Knox, officially defined as events officer extraordinaire?
Yes, this week.
This week, and so at the University of Lincoln. Ready for another open day, Bill, and I know how excited you get by every time we mention the University of Lincoln open day. This is going to be happening.
Yes, they do not get frisky on open days. That's another thing entirely. That's Freshers Week.
We're in the middle of Freshers Week now. If you're a parent listening, please ignore some of the correspondents' views with respect to the midweek drive. Everybody's actually focused on life, the universe, various other things. And Eva McDonald's back briefly from Saltfleet, because you're there until November.
Yes, I am. Yes, we don't finish until November, but now that it's off-peak season, you can book some holidays. So my holidays just consist of coming back to Lincoln for rest.
And where are you going? Because when we were just in Betwixt Records, etc., I'm sure Luke will be interested in this on the grounds of you don't just sort of say yes when some bloke phones up and says, can you move to a different part of the land? What exactly, where's the Eva McDonald courier taking you after this?
Okay, so at Christmas time, mm-hmm. which I was going to spend here in Lincoln, mm-hmm. Someone from the head office of where I currently work asked mm-hmm. if I would like to go down to Devon
really?
At Christmas and work at their big holiday park called Ruda.
Bigger than Saltfleet?
Oh, it's a lot bigger.
Whoa.
Much, much bigger. Probably
called Ruda, as in Ruda the red-nosed reindeer.
Ruda without the doll from
festive.
The end.
Yes.
It's very festive. It fits in.
Well, I mean, Luke, I don't think... Have you ever been to Ruda?
No, I haven't, but I know Devon, and it's wonderful down there. It's so pretty.
That's positive. Bill, Ruda for yourself? I'm thinking you should... Because we made the trip to Saltfleet, as you know, Eva, which...
Oh, yes.
Was never again.
Which you found... It's quite an experience, Alex.
Well, it made my summer.
It's the highlight.
Still having flashbacks, a bit like Vietnam. But Ruda, Heather, have I come across Ruda?
I haven't, no. South Devon I've been to, but not that.
But not the Ruda?
No.
Well, it's interesting, and doubtless you'll be telephonically connecting with us then.
I will let you all know about it, yes.
Fantastic. Bill, would you like to throw the general questions in terms of how they found the programme? Because clearly you've come in to step in really to the Phil Leonis slot. If you're worrying about Phil Leonis, don't worry, he's back tomorrow morning. Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'd love to ask some questions. What's the most embarrassing thing that Alex has done so far? Has he embarrassed anyone? Because that's his sort of party piece.
I think we're all going to be diplomatic there.
Although saying that earlier, you did end up trying to. You thought Luke was on the line when he wasn't.
Yes.
And it kind of left a very awkward ending.
Yeah, quite. We were in the middle of We've Got a Fuzzbox and We're Going to Use It, and I turned straight away to we have Vix from Fuzzbox. I was all set for the opened his channel, nothing. Absolutely zilch, zero. Had not been paying attention and realised he's dropped off the line. Are you still there, Luke?
Yes, of course.
See, that's exactly. And to be fair, you know, some folks said it's insane to try and do the whole programme, but he's Luke, it's been, because previously we've done, obviously, location reports, we've done phone links, etc. It's been your first full ever Midweek Drive. Well, full, pretty much. How have you found the Midweek Drive this evening?
Well, wonderful. You know, I was recalling an experience I had with an American radio. They asked me to do a marathon, which was, I think it was 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. But this is coming close.
Yeah. Well, we like to pack in to 2 hours what most American radio stations put into 24. That's the sort of key thing from that perspective, which is why we had Anna Lewis, Scott Harrison from the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, Vix from Fuzzbox, Malcolm Tomlinson, and William Coles, and, of course, your good self, Luke McDonald, and Heather Knox, and Eva McDonald, and Ben Lewis in the studio.
It's a marathon, isn't it?
Oh,
it's a mini marathon.
Yeah, but tomorrow morning we do it all again with Ellie Sample, Director of Communications at the University of Lincoln, filled in us via Skype from Los Angeles, and yourself, Ben, Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar, Stephanie Romashevsky, our sleep physiologist and director, Richard Fitzwilliams is with us, Ian Lennox is with us, Dr. Sarah Jarvis is with us, and we've also got a whole range of other factors, plus the Chancellor of the University of Lincoln, who is, of course, Heather,
Lord Victor Adebowale.
Nice. It's very put together. Mm, exactly. It's marvellous. Okay, Luke, have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us on the programme tonight?
It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Will you be back to do it again in the not-too-distant future?
Yes, and we could report from MIPCOM, which is our third Cannes TV festival here, in October, if you like. It's the 15th and 16th of October. I'll send you some detail.
I think that would be extremely good. MIPCON, would that be up for you, Ben?
Oh, interested in that.
Eva?
I would be very interested in that, yes.
Heather?
Definitely.
Well, if Heather Knox says it's okay, it's got to be a definite from that. Just ignored William. Bill, from your own point of view, has it been an okay telephonic link with your good self? And have you enjoyed the weather in Scotland?
It's been more than okay. It's been fabulous.
So are you back again at your normal time next week?
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for asking, dear.
Just a tease ahead. Next week, magician David Fox is back with us. We've also got a producer of a paranormal series in Lincolnshire who's making his debut on the whole production, and a heap of other goodies as well. Something that's, it's just going to be tremendously awesome, and it's going to be week one of the academic year. Thank you, dear listener. If you've been tuned into any part of the show, keep on keeping on. We've already mentioned the Roll of Honour. So all we have to do, Luke, I'll leave it to your good self. We can either say arrivederci or au revoir. It's entirely up to yourself, really. Exactly. Somehow the Anglo-Saxon goodbye just sounds
very blunt.
It does. You know, I think arrivederci or au revoir is one of those two things.
Au revoir, sirène radio, or arrivederci, sirène radio?
He said it all. But after three, I think, we shall say au revoir. One, two, three.
Goodbye.